You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow, and as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Strange time of year, this one, Skulk, because here we are in mid-November, so we're at the midpoint of the fourth quarter of 2024. People looking forward to the end of the year. On the other hand, there's still a lot of work to do, and goodness me, a lot of market movements I would predict in the next 6 to 8 weeks. But you've sort of got one eye on one thing and one eye on another. Are you finding that?
Yeah. No, definitely. I agree what you're saying. I think there's going to be, you know, quite a bit of action. Let's call it latter part of November, even December, because so many things needs to happen. And until Trump now actually takes office, we've seen he made announcements today on X, you know, as head of defense, and you know all these. But I mean, the one thing that sort of dominated markets over the past, let's call it week, has been this thing called the Trump trade. It is just unbelievable how this Trump trade has really moved the needle on the American market and some of these other Western markets, and you know, countries, emerging markets like South Africa, China, those countries has been under unbelievable pressure. I mean, how we've changed from September going into a risk-on scenario. We just started the cutting or interest rate cutting cycle, and it just suddenly turned around. You know, one person that made a hell of a lot of promises now really creating some havoc in some of these emerging markets.
Well, it's interesting also you talk about the Trump trade, because he campaigned on, I'm going to get prices down. But what the bond market is telling us, that he's not going to get prices down. He's not going to keep prices level. In fact, he's going to do the opposite. And this is I don't know whether you say reflationary or inflationary trade, because bond yields have risen, not dramatically, but they've risen, because they think that if tariffs are initiated according to his manifesto, or his campaign promises, there'll be 20% here, 50% there, 200% in other places. So, of course, that hits the consumer and it raises inflation. So the bond market is a little bit on edge. So that, to me, that's the big one. But on the other hand, last week was the best US markets week of the year. So the equity traders love him, but the bond traders don't.
Yeah, there's so many things. I mean, him talking about bringing the corporate tax rate down from 21% to 15%. People's done, you know, quite a bit of calculations. I can't recall, and sorry for the source now, but I think it was either Citigroup or Goldman Sachs. They brought a report where they look at these individual sectors, the consumer discretionary, consumer staples, tech sectors, and how each of these sectors should have an advantage if we decrease the tax rate, corporate tax rate from 21 to 15%, you know, how this could literally on the S&P 500 have a 4% difference on earnings for the next year and going forward. Now, I mean, I look at this and I say, well, it's all fantastic. Listening to all these things he's been talking about, cutting interest rates, tax rates, how, you know, his tariffs. And I just, exactly, first thing that I look at this and say, well, this, it's got to be inflationary. I mean, you're just not going to just push up prices, you know, coming from China and other countries producing these, and you're not going to push up prices. I mean, that's the first point. Secondly, I mean, where is he going to, you know, yes, if you cut corporate taxes, you need to make up for it somewhere along the line, because as we sit here, the U.S. government debt is just shy of 100, well, when I say U.S. government debt to GDP, it's just shy of 130%.
Now, that's Japanese style stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's incredible.
That's exactly. You know, when Trump took office for the first time, that was in 2016, I mean, they were already sitting at 98%. And we know, and we've spoken about it last week on the UK scenario, they now at a 98% debt to GDP levels. And people are extremely worried. If you look at how the pound has been under pressure lately, and that is one of the main reasons. Markets or countries are currently a little bit worried that the UK, you know, maybe bit off a little bit more than they can chew. And they had 98%. That's where Trump took office in 2016. They're sitting at 130%. How the hell is he going to do what he promised to be doing without just kicking up that debt levels even a hell of a lot more? So, yeah, I mean, what's it, John Arthur? From Bloomberg, he had a great he's got a daily newsletter, and he had a newsletter that he brought out yesterday, and yeah. I thought that was quite a nice. I don't know if you read it, where he said he's got this 1928 feeling, and for the really? Listeners. Yeah,
and just for people that are too young to know what happened after 1928. The biggest crash on Wall Street,
yeah.
And then many, many years of not just recession, but depression, horrible, horrible years. And that's when the far right, of course, rose. And you can see, and I'm getting politics in here just for a minute, and you can, and then you can go on with your market analysis. What has happened this year is that almost every single election there's been, and there's been lots of them, the incumbent has been turned over by the person seeking power. So even the UK, okay, the UK went from right to left with Keir Starmer. Italy went far right. South Africa, the ANC lost its majority, so had to get a coalition going. And so it goes on. And that's exactly what happened in the 1930s. So there are parallels. I don't think that anything like what came after the 1930s will happen again. But there's certainly some stuff going on. People are not satisfied, Skalk. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. That's where there's similarity. Politically, we've got some similarities, you know, to 1928. I mean, Herbert Hoover, and I think it was the 31st president of the U.S. So I'll go and check afterwards. But as I can recall, I think it was the 31st president of the USA. I mean, he was a business mogul. He was a really, actually a mining mogul, but he was a wealthy businessman. And how they got him in, and when I say they, the Republicans got him in and say, well, you need to come and run for office. We need you. I mean, we're looking around and things are a little bit, you know, worrying. And it very successful campaign. I mean, extremely successful. And as the campaign ran towards the end, very similar to the Trump now, people were expecting him to win, which he did. It was an absolute landslide.
Yeah.
Very similar this time around. Democrats got their teeth kicked in. But the run-up, as the campaign was positive, the S&P 500 were just running on this euphoria that Hoover is going to be the he's going to be the most fantastic president. He's going to make America great again. And yeah, he got elected, and markets reacted the U.S. market reacted extremely positive. They still threw the money in, as you correctly mentioned. A few months later, that great crash. The to date, if you go and Google the words "great crash," you still get the 1929 crash. And as you mentioned, I mean, that was followed by the Great Depression in the 30s. So. My advice to listeners out there is not that history is going to repeat itself, and because they were both business moguls, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as we sit here, the U.S. market are traded at elevated levels. I've released a tweet today where I look at the CAPE ratio. I've now, you know, recently combined the CAPE ratio and the forward fees, and no matter which way you look at it, we're currently sitting at some of the most elevated levels that the U.S. market has seen in history.
Yes.
And that, to me, is worrying because people are not – I'm calling it insanity. Investors are not approaching this market with sanity. They really throwing money out of this and saying Trump is going to make America great again. He's going to do all those things which you're going to say. I look at this and say he does not have the ammunition. I mean, when you were running 98% debt to GDP levels, you sort of had some movement. Now he's sitting at around 30%. I want to see him do half, just half the stuff he promised he'll be doing.
There's lots of promises that need to be kept and some of which won't be. But anyway, let's get on to what happened in the States today before we come to South Africa. Consumer prices rose slightly in October, was in line with expectations, a 2.6% annual rise in October as expected, and the consumer price index gained 0.2% month over month. But the market didn't like it. The dollar strengthened, the bond yields have, well, look at the rand, for goodness sake. Do you think, you talked about the Trump trade, do you think this is the Trump trade in one little microcosm of data? Because obviously this is not to do with Trump, this is to do with world markets and the Biden administration and everything else, mainly world markets, I would say. But do you think that next year he'll sit down one day and say, okay, the tariffs have increased the basket of the average American family, and that's not what I promised. I promised exactly the opposite. And then we could have problems because the bond market falls and because, you know, people suddenly say, well, you know, a promise is a promise. And you always say that you keep your promises.
Yeah, I think that's going to – I really just want to see how he's going to be able to keep his promises. Yeah. And yes, the currencies are, you know, let's call it the emerging market currencies, BRICS currencies. We'd be taking sort of the hit on the Trump trade. I mean, yes, we've had the dollar rand again weakening somewhat, you know, again today, further weakening. But when I look at the Brazilian real, they actually weakened a little bit more. When I look at things like the Mexican peso, they weakened a little bit more. So this is not a South African thing. This is a dollar index trading way over.
Oh, no, I wasn't singling out South Africa at all. In fact, I'm putting together a podcast now about emerging market currencies, emerging market debt, and emerging market government debt as well, the ability to repay the outstanding loans. And they were doing quite well with interest rates falling. But now suddenly the Treasury departments of lots of governments must be saying, wait a second, interest rates might go up again under this Donald J. Trump fellow. It could happen. Yeah. It's an emerging market story, not just a South African story.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I think all eyes are going to be on inflation next year. I mean, you know my stance. I mean, you and I have had the stagflation conversation so many, many times. Mm. I don't think that's off the table yet. I think one of the things we've definitely had wrong this year is I think most of investors, or let's call it professionals out there, said that there's going to be some sort of recession. It might just be a mild one. And here we're sitting 13th of November, and we haven't seen any you know major recessions anywhere in the world, really. So, but I do think it's going to be an interesting year next year. I'm going to be watching this inflation mark because, you know, I've told you about the graph where I look at the late 70s, beginning 80s, that stagflation period. And for the listeners out there that didn't follow our previous podcast, stagflation was pretty much a period in country or economy where you've got very low economic growth, sometimes even recessions, negative growth. You've got very low employment, and you've got high inflation. That's a very dangerous environment to be in.
Yeah.
And you know what Lindsay has said. I mean, we might just see inflation kick up next year, and we know that the job market has been sort of surviving in the US, but if that thing just goes under further pressure, I think then stagflation might just be back on track.
For a policymaker, the worst thing you can have is stagflation. In other words, a stagnant economy, so you've got to boost it, you've got to cut interest rates, you've got to pump money into the system, and then you've got inflation. And if you do what I've just said, then inflation runs riot again. It's a horrible situation. So hopefully it doesn't prevail. Let's have a look at those markets that we've been talking about, because the dollar rand is now 18.15. And that's a 0.4% rise for the US dollar. British pound, 23.04, virtually unchanged. Euro rand is 19.17, behaving itself. Euro dollar, though, 105.70, and that is a euro falling by about 0.5% against the US dollar. The gold price, let's call it 2,600. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt. Platinum is 9.44 and palladium 9.33. Last time we spoke, Skalk, they were both in four figures. Now they're both deeply in three figures, which is not great. What is great, though, is that the oil price, this could save us from stagflation, because the Brent crude oil price is down just over 1% to $71.15. And I saw a report today from some august institution that said oil prices next year will be $40 a barrel because the voluntary production cuts from the OPEC countries are going to be thrown out the window. They're just going to pump, 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 like Trump says.
So. I just want to just on that point, if that is the case, then, the one company I've been, and we'll talk, chat about SA shares in just a minute or two, but in Sasol, this company has just gone from absolute euro to absolute zero. I mean, this thing has just been dropping every day. And we looked at it yesterday where we chatted about it, and they would start making losses if the oil price dropped below $55 a barrel. So what you just said is if that comes true, then that'll be bye-bye.
So. If you look at the long-term graph, and if you are a bit of a graphist, ignore the fundamentals, which you can't, of course. I think it's going to down to $30 to $40 a barrel in the next year. And I put that out a couple of months ago to a technical analyst, and he said, what should I buy? Should I buy December put options? I said, no, go into the new year. So, yeah, it doesn't look great. Brent crude oil, anyway, it's just bounced a bit, actually, as we're speaking about it being negative. 71.32, it's only down 0.8% now. And West Texas crude is $67.55, which is down 0.8% as well. What else have we got here? Wheat price is down 1.8, all sorts of things. Copper down 1.25% now. It's only $4.07 per pound, threatening to break down below the key $4 level. Now then, S&P 500 futures, after a brilliant week last week with the Trump trade, it's fiddling around. It's still above 6,000. It's 6,000 and, as my screen furiously updates, 6,004. It's down a little bit on the day, but goodness me, what a year it's had. I think the S&P people will be looking forward to sending out their year-end statements. US 10-year bond yield, 4.415%. The South African 10-year is 9.35%. And the Bitcoin price, God, this is fascinating, Skalk. Because of a Trump and Musk, 91,700, up nearly 6% today. It is. It's complete madness. But good luck to those people that have bought it. And I saw an interesting graph. I don't know if you sent it, but I saw it somewhere on X. And it plotted Bitcoin versus the NASDAQ. Bitcoin is a tech stock, essentially. If you have a look at that, you can do that. I know you're a very clever person, William, when it comes to graphing. You can do that. NASDAQ versus Bitcoin, almost identical, Skalk.
Now I'll have a look.
And stick it out on X or LinkedIn or something like that. Tell me about the stocks on the JSE Securities Exchange. I mean, and start with Sasol.
Yes, Sasol today had a bit of both. I actually had to look twice because it ended the day at an actual positive territory, just shy of 1% up. So that was sort of, we don't see that a lot. But I think on the JSE today, markets still, slightly negative. We did see a bit of a recovery from resource stocks. Companies that reported or brought out trading statements, not a lot. We had Emira bringing out a 6-month results. Not a lot of action there. I mean, the share price reacted about 36 basis points negative. Tencent came out with very, very strongish third quarter results. Diluted HEPS per share was up 50%. But you just get this feeling now that I think it was Standard Bank. They had a comment where they said that the market expectations appeared to have caught up to Tencent's fundamentals now. So you're not getting, you need to get big surprises now to really see the likes of Tencent move. Naspers reacted. They're still down 48 basis points for today, and Prosus down 1.13. And then finally, we had results from Brait. We don't have to spend a lot of time. I just always find it fascinating to look at this little company where they did fairly well out of the holding in Premier Foods. The net asset value still trading, R3.10, with the share price at close at R1.91. That's still a bit of a discount. But here's the fun part. 61% of Brait is pretty much Virgin Active. So it seems like people might be going back to the gym. they actually stopped going to the gym in COVID.
In the old days with lockdown, you bought Peloton stuff, and now the Peloton is gathering dust in your utility room if you're lucky enough to have one. And now you go back to the gym so you can look at other people and say to yourself, "Well, I don't look that bad. I never go to the gym." Skunk, are you a gymmer?
I'm not. I'm definitely not a gymmer. I do stay active, and I do go for training. So that's, but I don't formally go to a Virgin Active now. Interesting. Like I said, 61% of Brait Bursky is Virgin Active now. That did kick up. So it did seem like they, revenue did look good, but earnings wise, there was quite a nice little bit of growth coming from Virgin Active, and share price loved it. I mean, that was most probably one of the best performers today on the JSE, up 5.52%. So, yeah, I think it's been a company that's been under immense pressure over the past few years. So this might be a bit of a turn of the tide.
It's very interesting that Brait is suddenly a gym company. Amazing stuff. How it keeps on not reinventing itself. I mean, that's far too flattering a word. But anyway, it's a gym company. On the upside on the JSE today, according to my screen, Pick and Pay up 4.1%, Italtal up 3.4%, Pan African Resources up 1 2/3, Harmony up 1 1/4, Anglo Gold Ashanti up 1.1%. On the downside, the ones that are meaningful, Implats down another 2.1%, Quilter down 2.1%, and Bidcorp down 2% as well. Any others to add there? No, you've done it.
You've covered them all.
Give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, Skalk, and also the value traded, please.
So the JSE today closed at 83,803 points. That was down 47 basis points. The top 40 closed 75,763 points, also down 48 basis points. And as mentioned, the resource index managed to keep itself in the green. It was a little bit stronger midday, but did give up some of the early gains that we had. Like I said, only 5 basis points in the green. Then industrials down 52 basis points, while financials were down 68 basis points. And the SA property index, they took a massive breather with this rand weakening, down 1.1%. I wouldn't read too much in the volumes. Not a lot of volume today. 17.75 billion value traded on the market for today.
It's that time of year, isn't it? Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Just very quickly, dollar rand under pressure, 18.16. And this is just the beginning of the Trump residency, the anticipation of Trump being in power for 4 years. If he does do what he does, I fear for emerging markets, their bonds and their currencies. Am I right to be fearful?
Yeah. You need to be fearful. I think he's definitely focused on America, and these countries, like I said, emerging markets, that is one of our biggest trading partners. Is the US. I mean, I think they're third largest, fourth largest. They are definitely one of our top five. So, if they're going to turn around and say, "Well, yes, you can continue doing business with us, but we're going to be slapping you with these tariffs."
Yes,
this is going to be an awkward conversation and can't be good for any of these countries.
And you know what Trump thinks of Africa, of course, because of his comments in the past. off-guard comments.
He called it the
shithole. Yeah, he said these shithole countries. And it really doesn't bode well. I mean, if he looks down his list of priorities, you've got China and Israel and Russia, of course, and all those things. And it goes down, and right at the bottom, you've got Africa. And so if there's any money going into Africa at the moment, it won't be going in there in the future. If there's any money going to COP, that money's gone. So everything that is not on his agenda, anything that he either doesn't understand or doesn't value, is going to be gone. And I can tell you what. It won't be good. The next 4 years will not be good for South Africa and for the African continent, which is, yeah, I understand his stance, but for goodness sake, you can't just throw things out just like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation because you're rightfully, it's going to be difficult. But let's just take things like platinum and palladium, just for interest sake.
We
know that as we sit here that we're the largest platinum producer and second largest palladium, and inversely we're the second largest palladium second largest palladium, and so the thing is, what are you going to do between us and Russia? We pretty much have, let's call it 60% of the platinum and palladium market as we sit here. I don't know if that's changed, but Russia still got slapped with a huge amount of sanctions. So they do get their commodities out, but it's not going to be easy to get it out. If they're going to be slapping these tariffs and say, well, we don't want to do business with South Africa, I'm telling you, it's going to be difficult to get hold of some of these commodities, these BGMs, these commodities that we are producing back. This is going to be very, very interesting, because he talks a good game, but he also says that we're going to get and keep inflation to the lowest levels that we've seen in decades. The two do not make sense. They need to talk to each other, and unfortunately, this is not going to be the case. So yes, I agree. It's going to, if everything he says happens, it's not going to be good for South Africa. But I got a feeling he's going to retrace in some of these, hard talks.
Yes, he's a politician. So, of course, it's a given that he's going to break promises. Skalk, thank you very much for your time this evening, as always. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.